Blog Talk Radio.
Beginnings is not just for the young. Praise the Lord. We'd like to thank you for a new opportunity
for tuning in
to Talk Radio. We hear someone in the background. I believe it's a 246 number. We can hear everything in the background, please. If you could mute your mic, if you could. In fact, we only have the speaker on and when the opportunity for you to share with the speaker. If you could hit the number one, then they will let us know that you have a question for the speaker. Amen. If you could hit the number one, that'll let us know that you have a question for the speaker. Okay, we are New Beginnings Ministries. We're here every Wednesday, and we do thank you for the opportunity for tuning in. We are a Bible blog, an interactive Bible blog. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity to talk to the speaker or whomever is the speaking for that particular blog. You can ask questions. We interact with one another. It doesn't make a difference whether you're from New York, Atlanta, wherever you are. You can interact. Amen. So when you're talking to your brothers and sisters in Christ, they're not just from Cleveland. They're all the blog is basically we are connected from all over. So you may be talking to someone who is out of state, even in Alaska. Amen. So we do thank God for all of those who tune in and participate at this time. We're going to have prayer. And then after we have prayer, we have an exciting, and I want to say an exciting young man, and I mean it's a young brother who is on fire for the Lord. And his name is Reverend Michael Jackson from out of Cleveland, Ohio. And his topic this evening is You Must Go Through. You Must Go Through. He's going to be speaking from 1 Peter 5:6 through 5:11. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to turn the mic over to him and let the Lord use him as an opportunity. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for this blog, interactive blog radio. Father, we ask that we would all be on one accord. Lord, as we come together, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would be lifted up, Heavenly Father, that we would decrease and you would increase. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all those who are calling in by phone. We even thank you for those who are tuning in on the internet. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that the hearers are blessed by the word. Father, we don't come together for any form, any fashion. Lord, we just come together to honor you. And if we can be an encouragement to one another, let it be through your word. Father, we thank you, and we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Reverend Jackson, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to have you on again. We do thank you for coming in. And I do what I said, a young man on fire for the Lord. I do mean that, you know, as a colleague, as well as a man of God. I thank you for your diligence. I thank you for your call that you have taken the opportunity and the commitment to run for the Lord. And we're just going to continue to pray for your for you as well as your ministry. Amen.
God bless you. Amen.
My
we
brother,
do thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're on.
Okay. I just thank you for the opportunity once again to impart God's word to his people. Again, I am Reverend Mike Jackson from Cleveland, Ohio, minister at the Love Center Interdenominational Church. We're going to go right ahead and get into the word of God here. 1 Peter 5, I want to start with verse 5b of that particular passage of scripture. It says, "For God is opposed to the proud," reading from the New American Standard Version, "but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be sober, be a sober spirit, be alert. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." My brothers and my sisters, I wish I could place myself into some type of spiritual anesthetic state, and when I come out, everything would be in place. I wish I would have the ability to go into some type of spiritual coma and wake up being the best person that I could be. But I understand that it does not work like that. We have to understand the parable of the potter and the clay. That was one difference, is that when we're going through God pressing and molding us, we feel what it is God has taken us through. And sometimes the manner in which he shapes us is difficult because he has to mold us into what he wants us to become. And it's hard for us to become what we're trying to become because we want to do what we want to do. Sometimes I want what I want when I want it. And I know that the flesh is, I didn't never know that the flesh was so difficult to control until I met God. Before, I had no reason to measure the intensity of my flesh. Now that God has shown up, he requires certain behaviors, and I found that I have a proclivity to resist, and because of that, he has to mold me and shape me a little harder in reality. And we need to understand, the Bible says that we're not strictly chastised alone, because the Bible says, whom he loves, he chastises. So to be chastised, we not walk strictly by faith. Sometimes God has to use our faith and chastisement to bring us to a place in him that he desired for us to be. And we know the scripture says that whom the Lord loveth, he does chasten. So he has to put us through whatever it takes. He has to put us through some suffering, through some heartaches, through some breakdowns, through some breakups, through some letdowns, some misfortunes and mishaps. In order for us to get some stuff up out of us, God allows some things to go. And it's nothing but a process of breaking and molding and shaping to get us to the place which we were called to be. Sometimes I just want it the way I want it, and God, you have to help me not want it. So consequently, I go after this thing, and he allows me to feel the whipping for what it is I want to get. He allows me to go after it, but even in my ignorant stage, he still puts a hedge of protection around me, so after I'm going after it, I won't go crazy before he brings me up out of it. You have to go through everything that you are going through in your life, all the bad choices you made, all the pitfalls you may have experienced, all the potholes along life, all the hurdles that have been placed in front of you, those who say they will be with you but turn their backs. So you have to experience all of this in order to get you to the place God is calling you. If I could not go into this anesthetic coma, my brothers and my sisters, I wish I could just disconnect my flesh, have an off and on button, turn it off. But I found that what he does, he measures the strength of his anointing against the strength of my flesh. So when he steps in my spirit, which is embedded in the middle of my flesh, he says, I'm here now to put you through whatever you're going through. So in other words, he allows you to go through some stuff so you won't lose your mind in order for you to come out. So he allows you to lose some stuff so you won't lose your mind. So the writer of the text says, those of us that are now taking the high place with men, we must now take the low road with God. Therefore, we have to humble ourselves. And it may say that we choose the type of chastisement that we go through. You are not chasing outside of what you choose to do. It's because of the process of your persistence that it lands you in the hand of God. And I often use this analogy sometimes, those who will hear me preach sometimes, I often reference my grandmother, that we were not chastised outside of what we did. So if the consequence of whatever the level of chastisement we got was predicated upon what we did, in other words, if you told a little white lie, you may have got mashed in your mouth. But if you stole something or you read the family name down and went, you probably got the life beat up out of you. So whatever you chose to do determined the level of whooping that you got. The same goes here in this particular passage of scripture. And you need to understand that while you're going through this, the situation is not doing nothing but shaping and molding you, but it's going on while you're conscious so you can see and feel everything that's going on. And your first reaction is to get angry with God and become defiant to the point from your viewpoint, because you say, God, if you knew this was out there, why would you allow me to go through it? Even with your persistent selves, the Lord is not going to move you from the middle of some junk you got yourself into. What he will do, he will cause you to sit in that situation and cause you to move through it. Some of you are trying to run up out of it when God wants you to go through it. We often bypass the process part and try to get to the praise,
but we forget before we get to the glory. There's a pain that has to be go for. So we're too busy focused on the praise report and or either the pain in which we're going through that we negate the fact there's a process that God is trying to take us through, and it's a process which to start appreciating. It's a process that we begin to see new attributes of God. It's in the process that we begin to see God in new light, in new forms, in new fashions. It's a process that we begin to see what we're really made up of, out of. We begin to see what God has put inside of us. That's when you really see how much your faith can be tested. In the process, you'll see how much word you really got inside of you. In the process, you'll see how much Holy Ghost you really got. In the process, God will begin to shape and form and fashion you. It's just like the refiner's fire. The hotter the fire, the greater the infirmities and the impurities that come up out of you. Sometimes God has to put you in some heated situations to burn some of the things that are up out of you, because some of the stuff that's inside of you is so deeply rooted and embedded that it only takes God and some situations he allows you to go through to get some of that stuff up out of you so you can be the man, you can be the woman that God is calling you for, and stop settling for half stuff. Stop settling for not being able to barely make it. Stop settling for stuff. We got to get the stop settling spirit out of the body of Christ. He says here in the sixth verse, he takes on a very passive voice. He says, humble yourself before God. We need to understand that it's in our weaknesses that we find our self-experiences, stuff that we could have avoided. So the writer says, now since you're in it, humble yourself. It's in the humbling that we begin to see God using the negatives to push us into his will and to stay where we need to be in order in this process so he can bring us out of it. And some of the stuff that I said earlier, just a few minutes ago, is so deeply rooted in our spirit that we have to take more than one Sunday service. We got to take more than one coming to one revival. We got to take an intimate personal relationship with the Lord to get some of this stuff out of us. Now, the exhortation is in honoring God while we're in his hands. You say, okay, God, I got myself in this mess. Now I'm going to let you work on me, because when I come out of this, on the other side of it, I'm going to come out a more powerful person. The exhortation is followed by some comfort. Because I'm in the situation, I know he can bring me out of it, because my mind is not fixed itself to the place that I won't go back to it. That way, again, he allows the process to go on just a little bit longer. So the process is going to be a little longer, because some of us need to understand we can't do it one moment and expect God to deliver us and think that's the end of it, because we find ourselves being repeated, going over and over to the same thing. And when the psychologist said, when you do the same thing, the same time, the same way, you get the same result, that's a level of insanity. And we got a lot of insane so-called Christians in the body of Christ that think they have arrived, that think they got to the place, but you keep doing the same old, same old. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Every now and again, you need to re-examine how you're doing some things. You need to re-examine some people you got in your life. You got to re-examine some places that you're going. You have to re-examine some people you let come into your inner circle. Because you have to understand, as I said before on this line, everybody is not in your corner. Everybody does not desire to see you do well. You got people right now praying evil thoughts, sending evil thoughts, evil malice, and all kind of evilness towards you because they don't understand what God is doing with you. There comes a place where you have to separate yourself from the thing, and we need to understand, separate ourselves from what some people place and things is not always a bad thing. You need to understand the ideal and the concept of separation has always been in the Bible. But in the beginning, he said he made the day and the night, and he called the moon and the sun, and one was to rule the day, one was to rule the night. So God was separating even when he was creating the earth, which means that you cannot connect yourself with any and everybody. You cannot go to any and everybody. You can't just go to a place because you want to go, although your flesh may desire. You have to understand. You have to bring that flesh under subjection to the Holy Ghost. I need you to understand this thing here. I want some of us to understand that some of the situations we want to be delivered from immediately, only to go back to get ourselves in something just quick, just as quick. So in other words, you want God to hurry up and deliver you, only to find yourself in some moment. But God, he says, hold me in the situation until I become firm in my mind and become firm in God's will. The devil wants you to fail because he understands that God said he would establish you in his faith. Therefore, it's in the humility that becomes a prerequisite for our exaltation. So what God does is he tells you to stay there in the middle of it, and he reassures you that he will bring you out. And sometimes your enemy is snooping around while God is working on you. But what God does in the process of getting you together, he'll cover you. So while you're covered by his protective spirit, the enemy can't get to you, because if the enemy knew what you were really going through, if the enemy knew exactly how vulnerable you was, he would come in to attack. But what God does when you're bare and transparent before him, he does not allow the enemy to see how naked you are before him. He does not allow the enemy to see how vulnerable you are, because he'll put a hedge of protection around you. So while he's working on you, the enemy cannot come in to attack. You ought to give God praise right there, because some of you are dealing with some things that if you were truly exposed, it would take you out. It will put you in a crazy house. It will put you financially unstable. It will put you in places that you'll find yourself broken, busted, and disgusted. But because we serve a God of grace, hallelujah, what he does here is he dispatches angels to cover you, that while you're going through what you're going through, you're not exposed to the reality of what is around you. So people don't see just how broken you are. People don't see how really hurt you are. People don't see how really disgusted and unfulfilled you feel. God will cover you. So that's why when people look at you, they say you always smile, but they don't understand deep down inside you crying. They say you always got a smile, you always seem happy, but they don't understand you just one payment off from having your lights and gas shut off. They don't understand you just one payment from being evicted. They don't understand this, because God will cover you even while he's working on you. God still gives you grace and mercy to withstand it. He says this here, he'll cover you in the middle of it while you're going through, because if they knew what they would do, they would come in to destroy you. Every now and again, he'll send a word to uplift your spirit. The Bible said he'll come even in the flood. He says, I'm with you. If you have to go through the fire, he said, I'll walk with you. So you have the blessed assurance that while you're going through what you're going through, God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So in the process, although it may seem hard, although it may seem painful, you need to understand that God is walking right beside you. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you have a promise that God will fulfill until the day of Jesus Christ. You had to go through it, and the devil can't get you, because you're now strong enough to see a stake and a rat when it's coming your way. And I learned that when God is not working on things for me, he's really working on me. And now you say that I'm in the middle of what I'm going through, I now have some concern. Yes, Lord, I know that you can move this thing and allow me to go on. You can allow me to go on with my life, but he says, don't get so concerned with your concerns. In verse 7, he says this, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. While you're humbling yourself, he says, I have not taken anything from you. I just put them up in storage. Glory to God. But it's still yours. It's still yours. You still don't get it. But you don't have to be concerned with the storage. I want you to get the lesson so I don't have to repeat it again. I want you to be ready so when I give you it the next time, you'll know how to keep it. When I open the door, you'll know how to walk through it. When I bless you with somebody that makes you happy, you know how to treat them. That's why you need to understand that you got to go through some stuff. He said, I don't want you to worry about nothing while you're going through. In the text, the word worry means anxiety. He says, I want the whole of your worries, because you have to show me that while you're going through your situation, it's that your faith has not failed you. Yes, you have failed in some areas, but your faith has not failed you. Yes, I need something to pull you out of this situation by, and I'm going to use your faith to pull you up out of it. I'm not going to pull you up by your hands and your feet. I'm not going to pull you up by your intellectual knowledge. I'm not even going to pull you up by the money that's in your bank account. I'm not going to try and reason with you to pull you out of this situation, but I'm going to pull you out just by the mere fact that you trusted in me. So he says, cast all your cares upon me. Now, Peter here plays with the words, cast all your cares upon him. He plays with the word cares. He says, cast your anxieties on me because I care and I worry for you. He says this is the way he puts it. He says, care, meremna. He says, cast all your meremna upon me, for I malelo you. In other words, he says, whatever you're worrying about, God said, is already in my hands. If I care for your stuff that you're concerned about, and you know it's already in my hands, you know that I care enough about you. So I'm not going to allow what's going on in your life to overtake you. I'm not even going to allow you to be consumed by it. That's why in 1 Corinthians 10 says, there's no temptation that has overtaken man, but that which is common to man. But even in the temptation, even when the problems come, even when the mishaps come, God said, I've already provided a way of escapement for you. Because I have enough grace and enough mercy that I don't want to see the demise of you, I provided an outlet for you. So I need you to understand here. I want to know how many of you can actually feel God getting ready to burst some stuff inside of you. How many of you feel that God is getting ready to take you to another level, give you another outpouring of his Holy Spirit? Anxiety, my brothers and my sisters, is a contradiction to humility. Because I'm saying, Lord, I'm in your hands now. This situation is in your hands. And I'm not going to keep it, because if I'm doing that, I'm saying to you that I'm more powerful than you, God. I need you to understand there is something in your life you need to just let go. Some of you need to let some of these children go. Some of them need to let some of your spouses go, some of your friends and some of your family. You just need to let them go, because you're going to mess it up thinking you can help God. Let me give you a biblical example. Abraham and Sarah, they said, God told them, you're going to have a baby. Sarah laughed, said, look how old I am. So what Sarah did was go said, Abraham, go sleep with my servant Hagar. And now they have a war still going on to this day because Sarah thought she could help God out. You need to understand you can't help God out in some situations. You need to step back and let God be God. And the kids nowadays say, stay in your lane. Some of you need to stay in your lane and let God do what he does. Some of you need to, in order to, for you to be delivered, need to understand your role. Your role is to do what they did in 1 Chronicles 20. You got to fall before the Lord in worship. You got to fall before him in prayer. When the enemy comes up like a flood, you have to stay in position. Your position is to give God the glory, to magnify his name, to lift his name, to exalt his name. Show hands in something where you're not qualified to handle the situation. If I'm not qualified to do heart surgery, why would I pick up a scalpel? If I'm not qualified to do eye surgery, why would I think that I'm an optometrist? If I'm not qualified to do some things, I will not dare go into the ring. So if you look at it from a secular standpoint, you're not qualified to handle the enemy. You're not qualified to make sure that the blessing come to pass. So let God be God and do what he does. I feel this thing here because you have to understand, some folks are literally trying to help God do what it is that he wants to do. You have to understand this thing, that the higher God wants to take you, you have to understand the less you have to really stop trying to work things out in your life. Some of you are looking for miracles. Some of you are looking for blessings, but you have to take your hands off. Let that be the word for this week. Take your hands off. It's right here that the vulnerability kicks in because you're still in the process. You know that somebody from your past you can call to help alleviate the pain. You have a quick way to get your hands on some money, how to make some money real quick, because you ain't quite forgot how to sell some stuff. You know how to make some shortcuts and some ends meet, because you still know how to scheme, connive, and deceive. Now he says you're vulnerable because you're hurting so much, and you'll do anything to get rid of the pain. The writer says it's time for you to be careful. Now is the time that the devil will come out from your past. Folks you ain't talked to in a long time will all of a sudden find your telephone number again. They'll start asking how you are doing. They ain't seen you in years. Folks with schemes will start coming around telling you what you used to do, trying to get you to do some old ill behaviors that God has brought you from. Don't go back to anything you walked away from before you met God. God is getting ready to exalt you. You have to let the work, he has to work on you. He has to squeeze you. He has to mold you. When he's done, folks that used to be intimidated by you will now be intimidated, the folks that used to intimidate you will now be intimidated by you. But you must go through this. God is trying to cut some folks out of your life. He's trying to get you to depend upon him and not those people that used to be in your life. The devil will try and slander God in your mind, my brothers and my sisters. He's saying, God, you can change this situation, but he's telling you in your mind, yes, he can, but he won't. You say, God, I have to let it happen. So, and I know you can work on it, but he's saying, God really don't care about you. The same thing happened in the Garden of Eden. He tried to show Eve that what God said really wasn't what God meant. You have to be sure and very sure of what God is and who God is to you. He says this thing, it's when you're struggling with your cares that you have to stand firm in your belief in what God is able to do. Verse 8, he says, be of sober spirit. Be on alert for your adversary. The devil prowls like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may be devoured. A roar of a lion, my brothers and my sisters, is used to confuse the enemy. So what are you saying? In nature, when the roar, of the lion goes forth, the way the sound comes, it makes it seem as if it's coming in the opposite direction. So when the prey hears the lion roar, the sound makes the prey run in the direction of the lion. What are you saying? I wish I could be in front of you to paint this example to you. If the lion is behind the prey and it sends out a roar, the echo of that roar will make the prey turn around and run right back into the path of the enemy. So what are you saying here? You have to understand, you got to be still. You have to stand fast and resist the devil when he comes up to you. You have to understand. So the Bible says stand and resist him. After you have done all to do, you got to stand for. You need to understand, you got to stand through your pain. You got to stand there through all your tears. You have to stand when no friends are around, when people have forsaken you. You got to stand in the midst of people talking about you like a dog. You got to stand when they say you would never amount to anything. You have to stand when people say that you will never accomplish anything. You got to stand on God's word where it says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You got to stand on the word of God where it says, he that has begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You got to stand on God's word where he said, I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But what you need to understand this thing is that while you're walking through the middle of this situation, the enemy is trying to pull you up out of it. Some of you wondering right now why you're up in the middle of the night walking the floor. You can't get to sleep at night. You're waking up with dreams and having visions, and you, all this is going on. God is trying to get your attention to let you know that your breakthrough is right around the corner. If you could just hang on in there just a little while longer, just keep on pushing, just keep on praying, just keep on fasting, just keep on believing, that miracle, that breakthrough, that thing that you need God to bring you up out of is right there around the corner. He says, what you need to do is when you wake up in the morning, in the middle of the night, not knowing what to do, God said, I'm trying to talk to you. That's the time you need to pray and begin to seek my face. When you're waking up with these dreams and visions, you need to open my word and get the revelatory message in which I'm trying to get to you. There's some things that I'm trying to impart into you that's the only time I can begin to speak to you when you're not worrying about what you're going through. So late in the midnight hours, just exactly when the house is quiet, the children are asleep, God will wake you up out of your sleep to begin to whisper sweet nothings in your ear. He'll begin to speak those things into your ear. He'll begin to give you vision and understand what it is that you want to go through. Here's what you need to understand, that when he'll wake you up to get a little more strength to resist the devil, he'll wake you up to give you a little bit more word so you can run this race that's set before you. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night to put some more anointing inside of you so you can go ahead and accomplish what it is that he set out before you. What you have to do is you have to commit yourself to something. You have to understand, because you're vulnerable, you cannot just easily go ahead and connect yourself back with some of that stuff and some of that garbage that God had delivered you from. You cannot connect yourself with a no good so-and-so. You cannot connect yourself back to some of the schemes and conniving things that people try to do. Because what happened? Please do not do this, my brothers and my sisters. Don't choose somebody when you're weak. Because when you come to your senses, you'll be wondering, why in the world did I let this happen? When you cried, it only was to make you stronger. When you felt the hand of God molding you, it was only to prepare you for the place he was trying to take you to. So look at the devil and say, devil, never again. You literally got to let the devil know, get the hell out of my face, because God, he's working on me. And I often say this, you got to let the devil know, trick no good. Because in Psalms 91, he said, he that has begun, he said, we will hide you under the wings of the Almighty. So he said, I heard the Lord say this, that there will be no defeat in you. As I was preparing this, the Lord wanted me to tell those who were listening, you may feel defeated, you may feel like a failure, you may feel like you have not accomplished or arrived where you thought you should be right now in life. God said, I want to let you know that you have not been defeated, you have not let me down, you have not come short of the mark. You just have to understand to hang on in there. He says there is no defeat in you. He will establish you no matter how the winds may blow and how dismal it may look. He will establish you. How little schemes and how many quick fixes may come your way. He says don't fall through it. I will establish it into your life. But you have to understand that you got to go through some stuff. I said I got to go through all this, and because you need to understand that when you are already lost some stuff, there's nowhere for you to go. When you already hit rock bottom, there's no place for you to do but look up. So you need to let the enemy know, I have to go through this. I've already lost the job. I've already lost the house. I've already been lied on. I've already been mistreated. I've already been ostracized and criticized. I've already been used and abused. I've already had my share of flaws and bad habits. I've already did my tricks and my treats. I've already experienced trouble. I've already experienced frustration. I've already experienced loneliness and heartache. And I've already had my back up against the corner. I've already been shoved into the wall. I've already had my fair days of confusion. But now it's my time to stand on the word of God and put on the whole armor of God. And after I have done all to stand, I'm going to stand on his word, because he said that he will deliver me in the time of trouble. He said he will come to see about me if I just call upon his name. And my brothers and my sisters, now is not the time for you to give up now. Now is not the time for you to throw in the towel. Now is not the time for you to wipe those days you're ready to quit. Now is the time to push just a little bit harder. And we know the acronym for push is to pray until something happens. You got to start praying until you see the very foundation of heaven move. You got to start speaking those things into your life that though they were and though they were not. You got to start calling on the name of the Lord in the midst of your trials and your tribulations. You got to start turning your plate over and going back old school ways and start fasting, because Jesus told us some things only come by prayer and fasting. You need to understand that you are in a spiritual battle. You're not fighting and wrestling against flesh and blood, but you are fighting a real live enemy that understands how to fight you. So you need to understand how to fight him. But while you're going through the process of getting to the praise report, you have to understand you got a God that loves you. You got a God that's concerned about you. You got a God that wants to see you make it. And not only do you got a God that wants to see you make it, the Bible says you got a cloud of witnesses that's cheering you on that you can go through. Mm-hmm. Like the pointer sister said, yes, we can, can. Yes, we can, can. And you need to understand that you are equipped to handle this, that you are more than able to handle it, that you are more than a conqueror. You need to understand that the weight of this situation will not break you because you experienced it. You need to understand that when you're trying to wrestle and struggle with it, sometimes you need to just stand still. How a person goes under in quicksand is because they start struggling. If they stop struggling, they'll stop sinking. Glory be to God. Some of you need to stop struggling so you can stop sinking and know that the word of the psalm says, simply says, just to him and others begin to pen these words. He said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore. I was very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the earth, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters of my pain, from the waters of my tribulation, from the waters of my pain and my trials, he lifted me, now safe am I. It's the love of God that will keep you, the love of God that will protect you, the love of God that will see you through. My brothers and my sisters, be blessed, knowing that what you're going through will not take you out, knowing that what you're going through will not be the end to you. It's only the process to get you to where God wants you to be. For you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I'm just clapping. That was a mighty word. That was a mighty word. We're going to open up our mics for Reverend Jackson. If you could hit number one, if you have a question or a comment, if you hit number one, and we will pot your mic up. Amen. If you would just hit the number one on your phone. You have a question. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Reverend Jackson,
Brother John,
that one is, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, one thing I want to, I'm looking at the news, and the more I look at the news, the more disgusted I become. But I have to understand that the Bible speaks of this stuff. And Jesus tells us not to even begin to worry when we see it happen, because it's just the beginning, he says in Matthew 24. And we need to understand that even all of what we see is a part of the process that God is trying to birth something into the earthen realm. And this is a wake-up call to the body of believers. Everything that we're seeing now is a wake-up call for God's people. The church has not lost its power. The church has not lost any type of power.
I would say the church may be a little sluggish or a little sleepy, but the church has not lost no power. The church needs to understand the power in which it possesses. And I tell this every time I tell the people, I don't think Christ is coming back for a bride that ain't got no power. He's so powerful and so majestic that he's just not going to marry anything. And the church needs to understand who we are in the earthen realm. We need to understand that the old-time way still works. Prayer meetings and praying and fasting, that stuff still works. It just didn't help our grandparents out of the Great Depression to get them to where they at. I had a grandmother that only had a sixth-grade education, but I tell you, she retired from a job and owned her own house when she died. And that's what prayer does. And I'm telling people, if the church gets back to that place where we're praying and we're fasting and we're seeking God, it don't take a whole bunch of people to do it. It just takes a small remnant. But if that small remnant dedicates themselves to doing this, we'll begin to see changes within the earth. And now I wonder what's going on with the church that we don't see some of these situations changing.
There's a question out there. We have 315, 315, amen. Your mic is on, 315.
Am I being heard?
Praise the Lord. We can hear you, my brother.
Okay, I don't think the church has lost its power. I think those that represent the church has lost their power. Okay, the word of God is strong. The word of God is pure. The word of God is something that you ought to not only hear and read, but the word of God is also something that you must do.
Mm-hmm.
In the church oftentimes are nominal Christians and are not true Christians. Okay, they choose and select what they want to do and don't do the entire word of God, what God wants you to do. So it's not the church. It's the people representing the church.
That's what I meant when I said that the church, I said the church has not lost any power. I said the people of God, there's something that we're not doing.
Exactly.
And I don't believe we're doing what God had called us to do.
Right. We do what we want to do.
Absolutely. God. See, I think we're, and I said this before, that we're so focused on who has the biggest church, who has the most members, who this and the other stuff, that true ministry is suffering because people have a different agenda than what Christ commissioned the 12 to go out and do.
Exactly.
That same commission has been placed upon us. We just fell in to do the job.
Right. Well,
some of us, let me say that again. Some of us fell in to do the job.
Well, let me say this, okay? It's true that we have a commission that was ordained by Christ himself, okay? But what has happened, what has evolved, and mankind has evolved and created his own commission, okay, which oftentimes is contradictory to the commission of God.
Absolutely. I would have to agree with that. And I believe it was, let me go back in my memory real quick. Here, I'm opening my King James version of the Bible because Some stuff just sound better the way King James worded it. This is what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. We see this. People who are teaching, who have large churches, a mass following, they're teaching things like don't preach about the cross. When if we didn't have the cross, we wouldn't be where we're at right now.
Exactly.
So we can't take the cross out of the story of Christianity nowhere, because it was the shedding of the blood for the remission of sin upon that cross that has us here today. But you have some preachers, some well known. For the sake of not exposing, you have a well known one, a very very popular one who has one of the largest congregations in this country, who says take the cross out, don't preach about the cross.
Really?
You cannot. Negate the fact that it was the cross upon which Jesus died.
Can he say what his justification is in moving the cross?
Say that one more time.
Does he say what his justification is for removing the cross? Why is he doing it? Does he justify why he's doing it in his own mind?
But you have teachers having that's teaching doctrine that will endure. They will not endure sound doctrine, but their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But he says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're living in the day and time in which this is occurring. So then my question would be, where are all the Timothys?
Where are all the Timothys? That's an interesting question.
Where are the Timothys at? That has been told what Paul told Timothy. So there's a two-part question. Where are all the Pauls and where are all the Timothy?
You know, but I'll say this about that, at least in my mind, okay, is that things have changed. The Bible hasn't changed, okay? The Word of God is pure. The Word of God is constant, okay?
Absolutely.
But the people have changed, okay? People have been looking for themselves, okay? You have different generations looking for something different. They ask certain questions, okay? Oftentimes, we can't proclaim the Word of God. We've got to explain the Word of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So proclaiming the Word of God definitely has its place, okay? But because the inquisitive minds of those, the younger generation, you know, you got the millennials, you got the Gen Xers, okay? They have a different mindset. They evolve in a different generation, okay, a different culture, okay? Their mindsets are different, okay? So we've got not only proclaim the Word of God, but we got to break it down and explain the Word of God, okay, according to the Word of God, okay? And that's all I see. Okay?
Right, but I'll take it a step further. Not only do we have to proclaim and explain it, we have to live it. Because the young generation, they're all about seeing what you're doing. They don't care about what you say. They're watching your every movement, and you are the representation. So that the more transparent that you are before them, the more you can reach them. But you have to understand that they're looking at what you're saying. So if you're telling them that this such and such and such and such is a sin, you can't be over here creeping, peeping, and scheming and conniving, and they see you.
You must
because
mirror.
That does more damage than any good.
I agree with that. You must mirror what you reflect, what you state.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we have to be very, very careful. Then, and I tell people, if we ask the question, where are the Pauls and where are the Timothys, and that's why I said the church hasn't lost no power. The church has more power than it did back in the day. It has not lost any power. That power has been given to us through the name of Jesus Christ, and we still have that power in that name. But the problem is that the people has changed. The mindset of the people has changed. The whole scheme of church has changed. It's no longer about the will and the purpose or the agenda of God. It's about man's agenda that some people are not trying to push forth into the kingdom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Any more comments? If you hit number one, if you have a question, just hit number one and we'll watch you up. Amen. Any more questions? Just hit number one. 240-843. We have a lot of 216 numbers. If you have a question for the speaker, just hit number one and we will pass you up. Interesting topic. I like the idea when you were saying in terms of just standing still, being able to stand still, because, you know, we as a people, when we are attacked, we really just don't know what to do. You know, don't know what the enemy is doing, or, you know, that what we try to make things happen ourselves. And I like what you said in terms of the word, just standing still. Standing still, and that is really vital. You know, We can't trust God if we're going to try to do our own thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And like I said, I was watching the Animal Kingdom. It's funny. I'm an animal nature lover and also history buff. When I saw that, when they started talking about how the roar of the lion goes out and it tricks the prey, I'm like, that's exactly what the enemy does. The enemy does the same thing, and it tricks us, and we get scatterbrained. We get confused. We start running all other kind of places instead of standing still to see. The Bible says to be sober. To be sober only means to be aware of what's going on around you. If you begin to panic and you begin to do all this stuff, just like with quicksand, if you get to moving in quicksand, you start going under. But if you stand still, you won't sink.
Amen.
The other piece that you said that really had me shouting and clapping over here was when you mentioned going back to old ways, and when we get pushed up against the wall,
mm-hmm.
you're not knowing what to do. You just revert to the old way. And then
right.
People from the past will come and tell you, like you said, you know, to remind you of how to finagle your way out of things instead of standing.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll only get you back where you were before.
You just get all that ground you made, you done lost.
Amen.
All of that ground you made, you done lost. And like I tell people, all of that stuff is still inside of us. We ain't forgot how to do some stuff, but the Holy Ghost serves as that seal, and he's capped some of that stuff so it don't come to surface. And we have to understand that people remember us when. And it's those people that will come around when we are facing hard times or remember when. And all that remember when stuff begin to sound good to you.
So that's, can you hear me? Am I being heard?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you.
That's an old statement, okay? Peace be still. Okay, that's an old statement, okay? But, you know, our generations, our civilizations, our culture has evolved, whereas we're an instant generation, okay? We expect everything now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when the Bible says, be still and let God work in you and through you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We all have difficulty being still because the world in which we live in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we ought to remember is that we're in the world, but we're not of this world, okay?
Correct.
We don't
mm-hmm.
pattern ourselves after the behavior of this world. And that sometimes is not focused upon, at least in my view.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a question for the speaker?
No, that was a statement. Okay.
Okay. I didn't hear that last part. I would say this. Being still does not mean avoiding doing the stuff that we know we should be doing. Being still and waiting on God still requires us to do something. And it requires us to serve. It requires us to get in that word. Being still requires us to get to know him deeper. It's not like we just sitting there on a swing just waiting for stuff to change. No, being still requires us to open our eyes and begin to see how God is working, to open our ears and begin to hear what God is speaking back to us. Being still does not mean we stop praying and seeking the Lord.
Exactly.
Being still means, and sometimes when I teach on prayer, I tell people that's what we call the prayer of silence. When you say nothing, but you wait to hear what God is saying back to you. The prayer, we're so quick to tell God what it is, the Father God, name of Jesus, so and so and so and so, and amen, we get up and go running back. But there's something called the prayer of silence that after you said your amen, you just sit there quietly and see what the Lord say back to you.
Amen.
So being still does not mean just sit there. Being still means that you must now activate some of the spiritual side that God requires of us, some of the praying, some of the fasting, some of the seeking him. And being still means that you're sitting there waiting to hear back from him. but you're waiting with expectation. Not because you just don't have nothing to do. You're being still because you want to see God. You want to experience God. You want to get all of his attributes. You want to see all avenues and areas of who he is. Because every time we think we know him, he shows us a different side of him.
Amen. And that word again, you know, I go right back to what I was saying before. Many are going out, many are listening or being tested, they've been tried. You know, and I see this as being a good word because oftentimes the struggles, the trials come and people don't know what to do. They don't know how they're going to handle it. They don't know, you know, what, how they're going to make it to the next day. So, you know, I look at this word as being, you know, extremely, extremely important, especially, you know, for those who are truly being tested. We all tested every day. But there are those who are going through some struggles, and they're going to have some testimonies to share, you know, with us. And I just see this as being applicable for those listeners. I believe there's somebody on the line right now that's being just feels like they're just overwhelmed with trials, overwhelmed with the struggles that they're going through.
Mm-hmm,
I believe that you're right now that you're speaking to. So I see this as being an excellent word, you know, to those who are listening. Amen.
Last time I was on here, I shared with everyone that when you're going through that stuff, all this stuff will come about. You will experience like you feel like the arrow is there, bullseye arrow on you, and God is just shooting all this stuff at you. God knows how, it's true, he knows how much we can bear. But we have to stop looking at it from a negative standpoint. And see, that's just when we need to start praising God because he has enough faith in us that we can carry the cross that he put upon us. If he knows how much we can bear, we ought to look at what we're going through and be like, Lord, you trust me with this to carry it. So if you trust me to carry it, I'm trusting you to bring me out. I'm trusting you to deliver me because you said that you know how much I can bear and you know when I'm almost at my breaking point, but that's just when God begins to show us who he really is and we can see what we're really made out of. So we have to stop looking at some situations as in a negative light, looking at it in a positive light or more of a spiritual standpoint that God is shaping us because when we come out of this thing that we're going through, baby, let me tell you, you're going to be sharper than you used to be. You're going to be so in tune. You're talking about walking with your head held high. You're going to come out of this, and then you're going to look back at it and see that it did not take you out. That's your praise report right there.
I think that we go through these trials and tribulations, okay? God knows how strong we are, okay? But do we know how strong our faith is, okay? Faith untested is unproven. Okay?
Absolutely.
So we go through tribulations and sufferings, okay, to test our faith. How strong is our faith? Faith untested is indeed unproven.
Yes, absolutely. And we have to understand that we all will be tested. We all will be tested. But you got to understand it. But you got to look at what Jesus said when he was at the end and was getting ready to stuff. He said, Peter, he said, do you love me? He said, ask him three times. He said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Because the enemy desires you. So we have to look at this, and we need to start paying attention to this, that we have Jesus praying for us. And I often listen to this song by Faith Evans and Donald Lawrence. It says, say a prayer for me. Jesus, say a prayer for me because you know what I need. If just like you prayed for Peter, say a prayer for me. Can you imagine if you had Jesus praying for you on your own? Can you envision Jesus praying for you? That's what literally happens. He's praying. Jesus prayed for Peter. So Jesus prayed for us.
Amen. We went. Are we still on?
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Okay, we lost you. Reverend Jackson?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We lost in transition your last couple of words.
Okay, I said that Peter, Jesus, just as Jesus prayed for Peter, Jesus prayed for us even before he left this earth. And he still constantly, we have the Son of God on our side. I think I tell people sometimes, and I've shared this before, that I literally sometimes I step off the stage of life and sit in the audience and look at what's going on before me. And I begin to appreciate things a little differently because I envision with my sanctified spiritual imagination, I envision Jesus coming to bat for me.
Amen. Any other comments? Any other questions? Your mics are off. If you hit the number one, you can join in, or if you have a comment, hit the number one, and I will patch you up. Amen. So those that are tuned in, okay, 240-843. You know, those of you that if you'd like to make a comment, please hit the number one on your phone. Amen. Hallelujah. We have interactive Bible study, and we make an opportunity to be able to interact with one another. Amen. It doesn't make a difference where you're from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Jackson, thank you for tuning in as we're getting closer toward the hour, closing the hour. And I have opened the mics so that no one is making any signs of any questions. So we're going to be closing down. All I can say is, you know, thank you for coming on and sharing a word with the listeners, not only on the mic, not only on the phones, because our lines have been full all night, and it has been a blessing. They've been a blessing, and we also have been things who are listening by internet, and I usually get comments, texts coming in of comments. So there are those who I call them the silent voice. They're just listening. Amen. They're just listening.
Okay.
But the word has been spread, and we pray that those who have been listening, that you have been blessed, not only been blessed, but that you would take what was said and apply it, whatever your situation is. Amen. And that's basically why we come together. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We're here every Wednesday starting at 7 o'clock. And we do invite you here to be a part of this interactive Bible study. Amen. Reverend Jackson, if you would like to close us out in prayer, and then we're going to close out. We thank you for tuning in. We need you to tune in by internet as well as by phone. We just pray that this is a blessing to you. Amen. We come together to encourage, to lift up the name of Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you for this opportunity once again to hear what you had to say to us, Father God. Father God, help us to not focus on the pain in which we're going through, Father God, but help us to appreciate the process in which you're taking us through, oh God. Father God, we ask for your grace and your mercy as we go through that process so we can come forth as pure gold. Father God, help us to endure. Help us to hold out to see what the end will be, Father God. Although it may seem heavy and it may seem dismal, oh God, we ask you to begin to send those sweet nothings into our ears. Begin to speak that word of encouragement that we need to go on just a little while longer to see what the end will be. Father God, touch those who are listening by the telephone and by the internet, Father God. Go throughout the ether waves, oh God, and begin to heal those areas of brokenness. Begin to interact with those areas of people's lives that they say that they're on the verge of giving up. Help them to get through, knowing that they shall come forth victorious. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and thank God.
Amen, amen, amen. Remember, we have to be a great thank you. Thank God.
Alone again. For new beginnings are not just for the